Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. What day is it? Wednesday. My goodness, Wednesday, August the 26th, 2020. I am happy to be here with you this morning, and I'm glad that you are here with me. Now, let me say what I should have said yesterday. For some reason, there were a little bit of connection problems. If for some reason the live stream gives out, usually all you have to do is wait 5 or 10 seconds and then hit refresh, okay? But even if the live stream does go out and it cuts out on you, if you watch this after I'm done recording, you'll get everything that way. I don't know why it's doing this, but for whatever reason, it is. In fact, it says right now that I'm having slow internet. I don't understand why, but nevertheless, that's the situation that we're facing. Now, with those technological problems mentioned and out of the way, I hope that this works well for everybody. If for some reason, again, though, it cuts out, refresh or come back and watch it. It won't be live, but you can watch it around 7:30, something like that. And also, I will post the link to the sermonaudio.com page so that you can find it on there too, because I'm recording it on sound, and then hopefully we will have video there as well. Now, again, welcome to you all. It is good to be here with you. Today, we see Samson for the first time. We've talked all about Samson, right? We've talked about the fact that he is a deliverer unlike any other. That's a hard word for me to say. Deliverer. Deliverer. He is a deliverer like no other in the book of Judges, because he's the only one where we have this nativity thing described, not nativity scene that you would think about with Jesus, but in terms of background. And we see some fascinating things with Samson. We see that his mother is not able to conceive and give birth. We see that his father has this interaction with the angel of God himself. Yesterday, we saw that his parents are God-fearing people in quite a literal sense, that they actually fear the Lord and they have a right relationship with the Lord. But just because that is the case, it does not mean that things are going to always be right between Samson and the Lord. And when we get to meet Samson today, we find out that this is a very odd person to be used as the deliverer of Israel. Very odd indeed. Why do we say that? Well, because we have everything about Samson's birth, right? Or we have the story leading up to Samson's birth. In verse 24 of Judges chapter 13, we'll just start there. It says, "The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manasseh, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol." All right. So that's all we know about his youth, that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. That's it. That's all we got. And now let's fast forward a little bit to where Samson is beyond the time of being a youth, where he is a man. All right. Chapter 14, verse 1. "Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to her father, to his father and mother," that's important, "to his father and mother, 'I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife.'" The first hint that something is not right here, the first two hints. Number one, Samson is out looking at Philistine women. Now, as a side note, realize that this is the Old Testament. This is when God was had given explicit instructions to his people about marrying, especially the men of Israel, marrying women that were not Israeli, that were not Israelite. In fact, Moses warned about it. Joshua warned about it. It's all throughout the Old Testament, because the temptation was always that if you go and marry a woman that is not an Israelite, then you will be tempted to serve her gods and her goddesses. You will be tempted to be drawn away from the Lord. So that's the first hint that there's really some issues here, that Samson is going and looking at Philistine women. The second issue is how he treats his father and his mother. Listen again to what he said. "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." Almost through clenched teeth, as Dale Ralph Davis puts it, he says, "Get her for me." He seeks no advice from his parents. He doesn't even ask them. That's how this situation worked. Realize that arranged marriages were common. Okay, that was how things were done then. And so for him to go to his father, and his father's never met this woman or her family, anything like that, and for him to say, "Get her for me," y'all, it shows that there's some real issues going on with Samson. Listen to what happened next. Verse 3, his father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." And then we have this in parenthetical, in parentheses here. It says his parents, this is verse 4, did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Now this is a fascinating verse, and you can draw many conclusions about it. One such conclusion that has been drawn is that Samson is somehow in on this thing. That Samson knows what the Lord wants, and so this is Samson playing four-dimensional chess here, as it were. Maybe you've heard that in political terms. It comes from Star Trek, The Next Generation. But nevertheless, I think it's three-dimensional there. But nevertheless, some commentators have concluded that Samson knows what's going on, that he's on this wavelength with the Lord because the Spirit of the Lord had moved within him, right? And so he knows what the Lord is doing. And this is a tactical move because, in essence, if Samson marries a Philistine, then that means he has an in with the Philistines. And he can infiltrate them. He can war against them. He can fill in the blank, y'all. But the reality is that when you look at the words that are used here, okay, I like the way that the NIV puts this. A more literal translation would say that he was looking for an occasion to confront the Philistines. The question is, who is the he? Is it Samson or is it the Lord? I agree with the 1984 NIV translation here that this is not about Samson being tactically minded. This is about Samson just following his desires. I have seen, going back to verse 2, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as his wife. Later on, when they're questioned, when he's questioned, he says, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." Now, this is one of those other occasions where God uses a crooked stick to draw a straight line, all right? Because Samson is acting sinfully here. He just is. Now, is the Lord going to use this to accomplish his will? Yes, absolutely. But y'all, in no way does God condone what Samson is doing here. Now, you might say, well, how do you know that Samson's not got this frame of mind? Well, we're going to get some clues as to what Samson's frame of mind is. And also, we're going to get a clue as to how Samson really views his parents very soon here. But nevertheless, just leaving it, or just going from what we've seen thus far, Samson's mind is not in the right place. God is going to use this to accomplish his will. But, number one, it's going to be painful for Samson, because he's about to go down a road that's going to be difficult for him, as we'll even see from this chapter. But number two, remember the basic principle that we've talked about time and again. God never condones what his word forbids. Samson, and other Israelite men for that matter, were not permitted to find wives outside of Israel. But nevertheless, Samson was going to have his way. God's going to use it, but God does not condone it. So verse 5 says, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Now, y'all, this is the first of the secrets in chapter 14. There's several secrets that are going on in chapter 14. And we don't know exactly why Samson is doing what he's doing here. You know, he's a hard man to figure out. On one hand, he clearly is thinking irrationally and is being rash in his thinking, going after this Philistine woman. But then he tears a lion apart with his bare hands. Y'all, it's hard enough to pull a chicken apart with your bare hands, okay? And it's certainly not a live chicken, all right? But nevertheless, this young lion comes and attacks him. He's on his way there. He's with his father and his mother, but apparently he's separated from them. And this happens quickly. We just know that the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he tore this lion apart. But he didn't say anything to his parents about having done this. Verse 7, then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Interesting turn of phrase here. You know, Hebrew, as I told you, my professor, Dr. Culver, called it the pithy lip of Canaan. There's all sorts of turns of phrases in the Hebrew that they make it into the English translation sometimes, but we don't really see. The term, he went down. You know, that's never a good thing when you go down to a place in the Scripture. You know that? Think of the book of Jonah, for instance. Jonah went down to Joppa, and he went down to the shipyard, and then he went down to talk to the ship's captain, and then he went down into the belly of the ship, and he fell asleep, and then he went down to the bowels of the earth. You know, going down to a place, when you go down, it's like, you remember Garth Brooks saying about friends in low places? Low places are not good places, all right? Disconnect from Garth Brooks, all right? We're talking about the Old Testament here. But nevertheless, he went down and he talked with a woman and he liked her. Verse 8, sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now we're getting somewhere. You see, this is a character thing for Samson, you know. Remember who Samson is. You remember what was said of Samson by the Lord? Samson was to keep a Nazarite vow. That meant, you remember what we talked about yesterday? It meant that he wasn't ever to put a razor to his head or to his beard, never shave, never cut his hair. It meant also that he was never to have fruit from the vine, whether eating grapes, but the typical use of grapes was not eating, and it wasn't jam, it was wine, it was alcoholic wine. He wasn't to have any alcoholic wine or any fruit from the vine whatsoever. And the last thing was, as a Nazarite, he wasn't supposed to touch any dead bodies. He wasn't to have dealings with any carcasses. But there's another issue even more than that. Forget about the Nazarite vow. Get back to kosher law. Y'all, kosher law was a way that God set his people apart. They were allowed to eat certain things and not eat other things. And so for Samson to reach in and scoop honey out of a lion carcass, yeah, you might say, well, that's just gross. And maybe it is gross. It's free honey. But nevertheless, whether it's free honey or not, I would probably eat it, but I'm not the standard for normalcy when it comes to eating things. But nevertheless, if I was an Israeli at this time, I would like to think that I wouldn't eat it because this broke kosher law. So Samson knowingly does this, and he's going down the road eating this honey, but then he gives it to his parents and led them to break the law as well. All in all together, what we see from Samson here is he has no respect for his parents. If you had to pick one thing out of this, it's that Samson has no respect for his parents. Now, why is that so important? Fast forward to Ephesians chapter 6, or rewind, to Exodus chapter 20. It doesn't matter. We find the commandment. Children, and I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 6, and I love Ephesians 6 because it gives the summary and it gives the application. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Y'all, what we see here from Samson is more than just about breaking a Nazarite vow. It's more than just about breaking kosher law. What we see from Samson between here and the episode of where Samson has found a wife for himself, and he has all but demanded that his father go and get her for him, what we see is a man who has no respect for his parents. And y'all, we need not forget the promise that is attached to this commandment. There's a very practical side here, and this is kind of our devotional thought for today. I don't know everybody's situation. Maybe your children are grown, but maybe you have grandchildren. Or maybe you still have children in the house like I do. Y'all, this is a wake-up call for me. And it's a wake-up call for how Amanda and I are raising our daughter. But this idea of children respecting their parents, or children honoring their parents, children obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is right. The very practical side of this is this caveat that we see from Ephesians 6, the little line that it may go well with you, so that you may enjoy long life in the land. There's a basic principle pointed to in Ephesians chapter 6, in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, later in Deuteronomy, and even here with Samson. And that is not the explicit promise that if a child honors his parents that he'll live to be a ripe old age, but it's more also about the quality of life, the whole that it may go well with you. What's the point? The point is that a child that does not honor his father and his mother, a child that does not respect his honor, respect and honor, that does not obey his father and his mother, or her father and her mother, same thing. That child is not going to live a good life. Now, this is basic reasoning ability that we're dealing with here. If a child doesn't respect and doesn't obey his father and his mother, then he's not going to respect or obey anyone. He may follow the letter of the law, but there will be no reverence there. There will be no honor there. And for a child that doesn't honor his father and his mother, it makes for a very, very difficult life. You want to know what's really going on in our society? I think this is the timeout generation coming full circle. You want to know why people are out here doing all this crazy stuff, burning stuff down, burning Bibles, trying to tear down courthouses and all this? This is the timeout generation coming to fruition. This is a generation that was not taught to honor their father and their mother. And as a result, life is not going well for them. You know, later in the Proverbs, it talks about how the man, the whole spare the rod, spoil the child, that's not biblical. But it does say that the man who refuses to discipline his son, hates his daughter. So I don't know what situation you're facing in terms of having children or grandchildren. Maybe it is that your children are all grown and you've got grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren, I don't know. If your children are grown, then sorry, the train has left the station. But if you have grandchildren, you can encourage your children to raise your grandchildren in a way that honors them, that honors your children, and in a way that will go well for them. Because y'all, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's a difficult time for young people. I wrote my newsletter article about this. And with this thought, I'm done for today. And we're going to pick up with Samson tomorrow, because we're going to see that his situation devolves further. And we're going to see what it looks like when the scripture says, honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you. Because things are not going to go well with Samson. God's going to use him. Don't get me wrong. But things aren't going to go well for him. But again, I wrote about this for our newsletter this month. Y'all, we've never seen such a catastrophic attrition rate in the church in the United States as we are now. Youths ages 18, or youths age 18, all the way through adults age 35, they're leaving the church and they're just not ever coming back. Why? I think a large part of this has to do with the commandment here. I think a large part of it has to do with the relationship between parent and children. That's not always the case. Please don't misunderstand me. But y'all, we are living in a very difficult time. And if you think that it's bad now, just wait. I'm not trying to be a doomsday preacher or anything like that. But really and truly, when God tells children to obey their parents, to honor their parents so that life would go well for them, it's a promise that is real.
Samson is just one illustration of what it looks like for an adult child to not respect his parents, to not honor his parents, but also a child under their roof, apparently, for demanding a wife. It's just bad news all the way around. So, for the sake of today, and we'll pick up with this idea tomorrow because we're already out of time, pay attention. Do you have children? If so, are you teaching them to honor you, their parent, and your spouse, if you have a spouse? Because in so doing, the basic idea is this, again, if your children can't honor you, then they will not honor God. And if they can't honor you, they will not honor anyone else. And the end result is calamity. The end result is what we see with Samson. Will Samson finally come around to honor God? Yes. It'll be the last thing that he does, but yes, he will. Samson is a story not to be looked at with wonder and amazement. Samson is a story that should be looked at with sorrow in part. Glory to God that God used Samson and accomplished wonderful things through him. But there's sadness here because Samson, with all of this strength and with all of this might and how no man could match him, that's not exactly true. Because the one man that Samson couldn't beat was himself. And here we see the first hints that Samson's always going to struggle against himself and his attitudes, his pride, his lack of honor. But the Lord will use him just the same. So keep these things in mind. Let me pray for us. Our Father, I thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for Samson's story that even now we can see hints of what's really going on with him. Now, you used him just the same. You did incredible things through him, but that's not to Samson's glory. That's to your glory. So please, even now, right here at the start, though we've just seen a glimpse, a glimmer of what's going on with Samson, help us to learn and to pay attention to him, to ourselves, but most of all to you, to see your gracious hand at work. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this time. I'm happy to have been here with you. Lord willing, I will be back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, and we're going to pick up, and we're going to see what happens next with Samson. Y'all, spoiler alert, it's not exactly a tale of wedded bliss. But you might have known that already. Until tomorrow, I hope you have an excellent day.